Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Hello and welcome to Monday Morning Deep Dish. My name is Shepard Price, and with me today are LBR and Janelle.
Hi, how's it going?
Hello.
Today we're going deeper into goaltending analytics and goaltending stats, having built off of skater stats 2 weeks ago. So Janelle, as the host, go ahead and take it away.
Great. All right. We have a lot to get through today. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about this, but let's just start from the ground up. Let's talk stats. What do you see as the most important stats for goaltending? And how does this relate to team stats in general?
Well, I bet Shepard and I are both going to have the same opinion that the same way we did with skater stats, that we like the stats that try to guesstimate or estimate shot value. So my favorite goalie stat right now is a goal saved above expected. There's a couple of models out there, but essentially what it does is it's adjusting for shot quality so that it can level the playing field for goalies that are behind good teams or bad teams. And I think this is especially important to goalies like, you know, Lincoln and Subban, who are playing behind arguably a not great defensive team, versus Vasilevskiy, who's playing behind an exceptionally good defensive team. So I like stats that adjust for that personally.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like the defaults, which are like save percentage, high danger, heavy save percentage, and goal saved above average, which is basically, it just takes the mean goaltending save percentage for the league that season and then applies it to each individual goaltender. And if you save more shots than the mean goaltender would have, you have more goals saved above average.
You're an above average goalie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a big fan of GSAA, which is what goals saved above average is, because it does remove sort of the context. I am a bigger fan of GSAX. I also like high danger save percentage because it's how good a goaltender is. It's saving those up close, like actually dangerous shots from home plate, which is the space between the dots and then up next to the crease. In terms of how it affects a team, it can affect the team a lot. Goaltending can get a coach, a Jack Adams award, just as it can get a coach fired. I'm of the opinion that last season Gerard Gallant got fired by the Vegas Golden Knights because Marc-Andre Fleury was having a .905 save percentage. And no other reason, because Vegas was the best team in terms of all other analytics. They just had a really poor PDO.
Huh.
But I'm also of the opinion that Fleury might have gotten Gallant the Jack Adams that the first year of the franchise history.
Yes.
No, that's really insightful to me, honestly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great. I really like this explanation. I also want to move away from stats a little bit because I'd like to talk about what makes a goaltender good, within the eye test as well. You know, if you want to talk about someone who's an athletic goalie versus someone that favors positioning. What are your opinions on those?
Well, athletic goalies are going to be the goalies that make the big saves. So they're always certain people are going to look better. They're always making the highlight reels. They're relying on their movement and them being aerobatic and all that kind of stuff to cheat a little bit. You know, they'll use it, and then so they'll be out of position, and then they'll make a miraculous save. So a lot of times that's going to come across as more appealing to the eye in terms of like, oh, that's so cool. You know, but positional goalies like Corey Crawford are just so like, they play contained and controlled in their net. And so nothing is going to be that flashy, but it's to me as someone who like doesn't want to have a heart attack during a game. I personally prefer, I like my heart attacks to come on the offensive. I like my goalies to be like, I got this on lockdown. And that's, you know, that's the exact style that like Crawford played.
Yeah. The positional goaltender is not flashy. They usually just get hit center mass because that's where they should be getting hit. But an athletic goalie is like Marc-Andre Fleury or Jonathan Quick. They tend to age more poorly than like Corey. If Corey Crawford didn't have as many concussions as Corey Crawford probably did, he'd probably be a good goaltender in New Jersey right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Athletic goalies, there's wear and tear on them a lot more too. They often will have like groin injuries, or like Leonard right now has like a bad shoulder he had surgery on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And you can literally see in his like stat maps where the shots are coming for, where he was letting them in before he just went on IR, I think, but he was letting them in right where his shoulder was leading up to his shoulder injury. And then afterwards it was pretty fascinating, but yeah, there, it's just how they move their limbs so much, it's going to have a little bit more wear and tear.
Yeah.
Got it.
Versus, yeah, the goaltenders who are always sort of just getting hit center mass don't usually take those sort of injuries.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, so how about some Blackhawks goaltending history? Who do you see as trailblazers? Maybe somebody that affected the team play and the morale. I mean, I know you all also mentioned about coaches too, and how the goaltender can make such an impact on the coach's career too.
Well, historically, if you're going to talk about trailblazers, Tony Esposito is obviously one of the trailblazers for butterfly. I'm pretty sure he's considered like the inventor of it or the pioneer. Now, Waugh made it really popular, like a hybrid style in like later, but Esposito is like the one that went from being stand up all the time to the butterfly style. So that's, if you're talking trailblazers, that's it. And then we were talking about this earlier, but the Blackhawks have some of the best, like their top five are some of the best historically across the league. And I think Jeffrey was saying only Montreal like really might be better. Shepard can expand on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Blackhawks sort of have a very clear Mount Rushmore, and maybe even a fifth face on that Rushmore, but it's Glenn Hall, Tony Esposito, Ed Belfour, and Corey Crawford. And then Charlie Gardner, who was like one of the first great goaltenders in the league. He won two Vezinas back in like the '20s. Are sort of the five greatest goaltenders in Blackhawks history. And while Montreal has goaltenders like Ken Dryden and Patrick Waugh, who are like two of the greatest goaltenders of all time, the Blackhawks are up there. And I'd say like the goaltender as the most important position sort of always has an influence on team play. So Tony Esposito sort of helped team morale. Corey Crawford, I don't think the Blackhawks win their two Stanley Cups without Corey Crawford in 13 and 15, because he was just so good in those runs, especially once they got past Nashville in that series. But in terms of trailblazers, yeah, Jacques Plante invented the face mask for goaltenders. and was sort of the first
to wear it. Yeah, that mask is so scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've had a hard time looking at pictures of that.
Yeah, the Jason Friday the 13th mask. Yeah. But yeah, throughout the sort of franchise history, the goaltenders of all the Blackhawks have been shaped by goaltenders.
Okay, so going from the past, from the history, why don't we move on to the present day? So Coach Colson said in a post-game interview after Thursday's game against the Blue Jackets, in which Subban had a shutout, he said that the team is pleasantly surprised by the way the season has been going in terms of goaltending. And that he also said that's what you hope for when you give young guys the opportunity. So how about both of you? How gratifying has it been for you to see the rookie Hawks goalie and, you know, Subban and what he's like the new goalies for the Hawks? How gratifying has it been for you guys?
It's okay. So I'll go ahead and start by saying that when the whole thing with Corey Crawford went down, I was one of the people that was like, no, not necessarily because I didn't want to give the kids a chance, but I always wanted there to be like a safety net and that Crawford could teach these kids. I always was worried. He's just worrisome. So the fact that after the first couple of games, you have Lincoln and stepping in and then Subban playing well, I don't think he's had as hard a workload as Lankinen, but, you know, and even with some dips with Lankinen, them coming in and solidifying what was considered a very, very questionable position for the Blackhawks has been awesome. And I think a lot of credit for the way the season is going currently should be given to them and Waite as the goalie coach, of course.
Yeah. I've written about how Jimmy Waite on secondcityhockey.com, how Jimmy Waite's sort of an underappreciated part of this. But to LVR's point, the Blackhawks are playing so much better in front of Malcolm Subban that it's sort of ridiculous. And you can look at, shout out to Hockey Viz, but you can look at the Hockey Viz numbers in front of Subban versus in front of Lankinen. And the Blackhawks defense is terrific in front of Subban, and it's not as great in front of Lankinen.
Why would you say that's the case?
I think because they've realized they kind of have to be tighter in front of Subban because both are sort of struggling with the same thing this season, which is rebound control. But Subban sort of, he looks like a trampoline. He is always in position, but he always sort of gives up the rebound. Whereas Lankinen sort of isn't as clear about giving up the rebound, even if he gives up just about as many.
Lankinen is better at directing them too.
Yes. Yeah, Subban's just sort of fling off of them.
There's no rhyme or reason. You don't know where they're going to go. So that's hard for the team to, like, predict. So they're kind of like, they collapse down for him a lot more, I feel like, to try to cover as much zone versus Lankinen, who, and Corey Crawford had a similar, like, he was better at directing rebounds. He had not great rebound control when he first came into the league, but he was good at directing, which is something that he got much, much, much better with. And that's just something a team can work with better. Like, it'll allow them to open up a little bit. So that's a difference right there between
and Lankinen. Sort of looking at the rebounds, Subban can kind of be an agent of chaos, whereas Lankinen's sort of more ordered in his rebounds.
Yeah.
Subban's been playing kind of better overall. He's got a 930 versus Lankinen's 921. But again, part of that is just the Blackhawks being better in front of him.
So this is obviously just about predictions, which, you know, is just to me, just a fun thing to talk about. But how do you see the rest or be even part of the rest of the season going in terms of who with the goaltending, you know, who's going to be in the net more often? Is someone going to get tired out? Someone going to excel?
It's hard to say because neither of these goaltenders have had like a true full season. Watching Subban since the beginning with Vegas, which is kind of the beginning because he was drafted and played a little bit in Boston, but got really sort of more starts in Vegas. And he's played like 20 games a season, and he might play 20 games this season, but like over a full season, like next season, if they're going with Lankinen and Subban then. It'll be interesting to see how he sort of can perform with more games and more expectations. Lankinen had, what, like 30 games last season in the AHL? And he was not great in all 30 of those games because he had a 909 save percentage. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how both, because they're both relatively young. Neither have played a full NHL season. it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I do think we'll start seeing Colin Delia down the road more. We haven't seen him since this third game of the season. So,
So this is kind of like an aside question, but this is also from the post-game interview from Thursday's game. And Ben Pope asked Subban if he came to Chicago to refocus his career, to which Subban replied that, quote, he's not focused on those things. I was a bit surprised by this comment. Could either of you elaborate on this for me? Or, you know, is this a moot point? Am I missing something?
I don't think many players are focused on their past that much. Like, they're very, like, look forward, do better, improve, but not... They're not going to look at their history necessarily. Not everybody is going to look at their history as, I'm going to go somewhere else to get better at it. They just want to improve in general. And I don't like, it's a good opportunity with a new team, but I can see where he's coming from. He's not thinking of it like that. He's just thinking of, how can I help in this moment with this team, instead of, why did I not do well in the past? Now, some other goalies like Fleury is famous for going to like a psychologist to like exercise his demons or something like that, whatever he did. But most of them talk like, I'm here in this moment and I'm not really paying attention to the past. I want to be here.
Got it.
At least that's how I took it.
Yeah. Anything else to add, Shepard?
Yeah, especially goaltenders can kind of be the least consistent position. Because their sort of save percentage can go, again, Vegas is sort of my other non-Chicago reference, but Fleury had a 905 save percentage this season, last season. He has a 944 this season. That is a wild swing, but it's not like out of the realm of possibility for wild swings like that to occur. Some seasons was goaltenders feeling it more than they felt it the season prior. So especially for the goaltending position, I think living in the moment is sort of their specialty.
Yeah, got it. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So, switch gears a little bit. We've talked a lot about the Hawks. What do you think is your favorite non-Hawks goalie of all time?
I think we're probably going to show our age here a little bit I would say, and I think Tipper agreed, like, Lundqvist is probably one of the best goalies for me. Like, if Lundqvist had been a Blackhawk, I would have been extremely excited about that. He was just really consistent. And behind some of the very good Blackhawks teams we've had recently, I think he would have excelled. And for like 2 seconds, I really liked Jonathan Quick, but he like dived, like, you know how you get like mesmerized by how like athletic a goalie is, how flashy they are. Jonathan Quick was like that for a little while, and it was just really impressive. So, but yeah, Lundqvist probably.
Yeah, it's Lundqvist.
Oh wow, the guy, I disagree.
Yeah, the guy was never below a 910 save percentage in his career, except the last two seasons when he was aging. It's really impressive how consistent he was, because it's sort of the same case with Corey Crawford, because Crawford's sort of best ability was consistency. I think that translates over to Lundqvist. In terms of current goaltenders, because Lundqvist is sort of retired, I like Darcy Kemper. I also like John Gibson is the best goaltender of the last decade.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I agree. I love John Gibson. I've liked him since he was playing for like the national teams and stuff like that. He has like such a cool mix between being positional but also having some athleticism. I think there's a bunch of young goalies to be excited about. Mackenzie Blackwood in New Jersey is very cool to watch. And Carter Hart did some cool things last year. Just, you know, there are a couple that are coming through that are some interesting, nice goalies.
Yeah, and then there's the Russian Revolution too, and teams like Washington and New York,
yes.
Both New York teams. Yeah.
So if you could see anybody wearing a goalie wearing a Hawks jersey, would it be Lundqvist, or is there someone else you think that would play really well with the current Hawks?
if we're talking right now.
Yeah, right now.
Well, okay. So to factor in age, Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, is like, he's a little bit younger than Gibson. Gibson is 27 and Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, just turned 24. So I appreciate on that factor that he would last longer and he's closer in age to the current Blackhawks, but it's really hard. I think, like, honestly, I think Gibson deserves a good team to play with. Not just like, our team is rebuilding and Anaheim is rebuilding. And I think Gibson's best years got wasted.
Yeah. There's also Connor Hellebuck, who's also just 27 years old. Yep. After winning the Vezina last season. So I would not mind him.
Markstrom, I wouldn't mind Markstrom either. Yeah. Like, I think Markstrom's great. So
I think Thatcher Demko could still be special. Yes. He's not special behind this Vancouver defense because there's nobody playing defense in Vancouver, but I think he could be special elsewhere.
Vasilevsky is also obviously a great goaltender. I think I'd like to see what he's like not behind one of the best teams in the league, though. It's weird to me that he's getting a lot of, you know, due props for being a good goalie, but he's playing behind one of the best teams and has been for years versus Corey Crawford, who also played very well, but it was a knock against him that he played behind one of the best teams in the last decade. So it's a weird, like, why do certain goaltenders get more accolades than others?
Yeah. Especially when Corey Crawford, like, the last 5 years was not playing behind one of the best teams.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Any last insights for our listeners?
No.
don't be afraid if the Blackhawks goaltending sort of falls off near the end here. Again, they're both two young goaltenders who haven't had played a full season. Losing traction might be something that we see. Lankinen's had a few bad games the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Blackhawks need to play better defense. So skating by on goaltending is what's sort of making this team 11 and what, 6-3, 4. That might change. That might not. Goaltending can stay great throughout a season.
Mm-hmm.
So
goaltending is by far, I think, the hardest position to predict.
Oh, it for sure is.
You obviously have people like Lundqvist and Corey Crawford, and the reason we might like them the best is because they're so consistent. But
yeah,
damn, if I just like Lincoln, if any of them come off, I know that when Lincoln had his first bad game, there were people that like wanted to shoot him into the sun, and I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I guess fans will always go from one extreme to another,
especially when all three goaltenders were struggling that first four games.
Yes,
that like, why are you singling out anybody?
Yes.
Besides Delia.
Yeah, poor him.
Yeah.
I second Shepard, just like breathe, relax if goaltending gets a little, you know, hopefully they'll get more support if that happens. Maybe it needs to happen for the team in front to like try to possess the puck a little bit more. Like, they obviously are like hardworking and they have this "we can do it at any time" moment, you know, like feeling to them, but that's not going to be successful forever. So maybe the goaltending needs to dip a little bit for them to make a realization, play a little bit better, help protect your goalies. I mean, what is it? Like, they owe him a steak. Like, that's what everybody used to say to Corey Crawford. They're like, yeah, the team in front of him owes him like a steak dinner. And it's same thing can be said right now.
Yeah. That these goaltenders are just really good at bailing out a team that isn't playing great defense around them.
All right. Fantastic. That was very insightful and a lot of fun. Thank you to both of you, and let's go Hawks.
Yay.